Good to see you here on the special night that comes once a year, Christmas Eve. No. We still think about those shepherds that got the first announcement when angels appeared and announced it. We're going to sing a hymn based on that. Would you stand as we sing Angels We've Heard on High?
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains.
Good to have you here tonight at our Christmas Eve service. I don't know how many of you here for the first time a Christmas Eve service at South Avenue. All right, well, thank you for being here tonight. This is my third year as pastor at South Avenue, my third year of being a part of these Christmas Eve services, and it's become a family tradition for us. We love Christmas Eve services, even though most of my family can't be with us. They're scattered all over the country, but we're glad that you're here. You've become our family tonight. And we're glad that we're here with our brothers and sisters in Christ as we celebrate the birth of Christ. About 4 weeks ago, we had a Hanging of Green service on Christmas or on Sunday evening, and we began the Christmas lighting of the Christmas candles, the Advent wreath, candles around the wreath. And we've lit four of them so far, and each of the candles represent something based on their color as well as the number of them. Three of the candles are purple, and they represent his royalty, his suffering, and his humility. The first candle that we lit was the candle of hope. The second, the candle of peace. The third candle, the pink one, was the candle of joy. And the fourth that we lit last Sunday is the candle of love. There's one candle left to be lit, and that is the white candle in the very middle. It is the largest of all the four, and it is the Christ candle. It represents the Lord Jesus Himself. Why do we light four candles? Well, these four outer candles represent the period of waiting during the four Sundays of Advent, but they also symbolize four centuries of waiting between the prophet Malachi and the coming of the Lord Jesus through his birth. As we have lit the candles, it reminds us that each light makes the room a little brighter. As we continue to light tonight, we need to remember that lighting of these candles symbolizes the darkness of fear, hopelessness receding, the shadows of sin falling away as more and more light is revealed in the world. And we're going to close our service with all of us having candles lit from the Christ candle tonight, symbolizing the fact that Christ is the light of the world. He has come into this world to be the light of the world. And as believers, we are also called to share his light and to shed his light to those around us. We want to rejoice over the fact that the hope and promise of long ago has been realized. Jesus Christ, he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the reason for the season. Every week, we've been asking individuals and their families to come and light the various candles and pray for us as we begin our service. And tonight, Rich Crandall is going to come with his family, and he's going to light the Christ candle and pray for us as we begin our service.
Let us pray. Dear Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house and praise your holy name. Thank you so much for sending Christ Jesus down to redeem us all of our sins. Please forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Another great carol we sing is "The Birthday of the King." Let's sing it together. And I won't ask you to stand every time, but stand one more time, would you? In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day. And the manger bed, what a holy night for the place where Jesus lay. Alleluia, oh how the angels sang, alleluia. A humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way. Alleluia, oh, how the angels sang, alleluia.
There's a danger in reading a scripture that we know so well and are so familiar with, because sometimes we don't hear it because we think we already know it. So tonight, this is a very familiar scripture, but I ask you to hear it with fresh ears. Okay? Luke 2, 1 to 20. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was his child, and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which was told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you
tonight to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, have you ever been forgotten on your birthday? I'm not here to bring up painful memories, but have you ever been forgotten on your birthday? Sometimes people can be forgetful at times. It can be really bad when someone you're really close to forgets your birthday. I was reading an article some time ago, and it mentioned the Korean veterans. How many of you have served in the Korean War? I know at least one did. All right. See that hand. The Korean War was caught between the Big War and the Bad War, and it's often called the Forgotten War of the 20th century. The war in Korea ranks among the most important of the 20th century, and yet is the least remembered, writes Clay Blair, who is an historian on the fact. President Bill Clinton dedicated the Korean War Veterans Memorial during his tenure. It's amazing to me it took that long for a memorial to be given to those veterans of that war. During that, he said that during that war, during that memorial, he said that the fighters there set a standard of courage that may be equal but will never be surpassed in the annals of American combat. Some of you may not remember. History books don't give much information about the Korean War. In fact, many of today's high school history books treat the Korean War as hardly worth a footnote. One particular history book gives two pages on the Korean War versus 41 pages on the Vietnam War. Korea's fighting started with a surprise attack June 25th, 1950. More than 130,000 North Koreans poured south on a quiet Sunday morning in an onslaught that many U.S. officials, including MacArthur, refused to believe. Over the next 3 years, North Koreans, Communist Chinese, South Koreans, Americans, and UN soldiers ran up and down the peninsula, killing each other, advancing, retreating. It ended finally in people in their foxholes, in trenches, and the 38th parallel was drawn. Korea lasted three times as long as a U.S. stint in World War I, with brutal combat that often surpassed the toughest battles of any war in American history. In fact, counting all sides and civilians, the war claimed about 3 million victims. Korea saw 33,686 U.S. troops killed in 3 years, a battlefield death rate almost double that of Vietnam, and it cost the lives of an additional 10,000 U.N. troops from 20 nations, and yet for many it is a forgotten war. Why would we forget something so important? It's amazing to me. But when it comes to Christmas, we seem to forget that as well. Christmas is all about the birthday of Jesus, and yet I challenge you to find joyful people standing in the line at Walmart, Target, and Best Buy. Do you see merry shoppers at the mall with a great smile on their face as they buy presents for their family and their friends? Do you see the great joy in the expressions of the drivers behind the steering wheel as they dart through holiday traffic? It's a well-documented fact that the holidays, for many, are the most depressing time of the year instead of the most joyful time. And I would suggest that one reason why is because they've really forgotten what the season is all about. It is the birthday of Christ. Tonight, I want to share two things with you. We're going to share the first thought, and then we're going to take communion together, and then we'll share the second thought. But tonight, I really want to celebrate the fact that God has given a gift to us. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The spirit of Christmas, the reason we give gifts one to another on Christmas is because it represents the fact that the very best gift that was ever given to us was the gift of God's Son. Jesus Christ was God's gift to us. God gave his one and only Son so that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. The spirit of Christmas is the spirit of giving. With the gift of his Son come many benefits and blessings. If we think about all that Jesus Christ has done for us, it's amazing. He's promised us heaven. Before he left this world, at his first coming, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is that place that God has gone to prepare for us, that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And because of God's gift to us of his Son, we have the promise of heaven. We have the promise of eternal life. Jesus came so that we might have eternal life. God so loved that he gave, and his Son came so that we could live forever in this place called heaven. Ephesians 1 says that God has seated us in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. He's given us a position of great honor and authority and power. Seated with Christ in the heavenly places, not by virtue of our goodness or our merit, but by virtue of what Christ has done in our behalf. Romans 8 says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Jesus is our brother, and as our brother, we have all the inheritance that is promised to him. Ephesians 1 says we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. We are not left by ourselves. We are given the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I must depart so that the Spirit may come. And on the day of Pentecost, He came. And for every believer, once you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. It is God's gift to you so that the Spirit of Christ is with you wherever you go. That Spirit becomes your teacher, your comforter, your guide, your encourager, all made possible by the gift of Christ Himself, God's gift of love. In fact, all the resources of heaven are at our disposal because of God's gift of His Son. And when we know Him personally, intimately, we know Him as our Savior, as our Lord, all the blessings of heaven itself are ours. Imagine sitting around the Christmas tree and you've spent much and labored hard to buy presents for your children. They unwrap the presents one by one with great joy and anticipation, and then the joy turns to disappointment because they don't like the presents you have bought them. They lay them aside, never to pick them up again. How hurt would you be? Imagine how God must feel when He gives you the gift of His Son, that you reject that gift and treat Him as unwanted and undesired, as unimportant and unnecessary. I want to encourage you to remember the reason for the season. December the 19th, year 2000, a story was reported in the Washington Post about a rescue off of the Virginia coast. There were 34 people on the cruise ship called the Sea Breeze One. The waves became harsh, and that cruise ship was going to go down. And the Coast Guard took two helicopters out to that cruise ship to rescue those 34 people. The plan was to put 17 in each one of those helicopters. But when they let the basket down the very first time, the crewmen that were on the ship, they became so disoriented and so terrified that they all began to climb into that basket to get onto the helicopter. And the basket was only made to carry two people at the most. At that time, the pilot of the ship knew what needed to happen. And they had a petty officer, Darren Reeves. He decided he must take action. And so he took off out of the helicopter, went down onto the deck, and one by one began to ferry those crew members, making them wait their turn up to the helicopter. His job was to board the vessel and help those crew members get in the basket that would hoist them to safety. And that's exactly what he did. He said everybody started to jump in at once. They were arguing, pushing, shoving each other. He said, I had to pull them off. If I hadn't been there, five or six of them would have been hanging on. All of them would have gone into the ocean and drowned. But eventually, order was restored, and all 34 persons were rescued. He said the anxiety subsided. And as they approached land, there was rejoicing over all those that were spared. As I read his story, I was reminded of this fact. This is what Jesus has done for us. We were on a sinking ship called sin. We needed rescuing. And God left the very safety of heaven and was born by the Virgin Mary in a manger in Bethlehem, and became one of us so that He might rescue us from death, hell, and the grave. That is God's gift to us. Tonight we're going to take communion together. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we invite you to take communion with us. We're only going to pass the trays one time. There's bread in the center and cups on the outside. We're going to ask our deacons to come forward. We're going to take communion together as we remember God's gift for us. And that's what Christmas is really all about. this birthday season. So deacons, if you'll come at this time. The Bible says that Jesus took the bread, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. As oft as you do this to remember me." He took the cup and he gave it to his disciples and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do this to remember me." There is no saving value in the elements that we give to you tonight. The bread will not save you. The wine will not save you. They are simply symbolic of the one who does save. Symbolic of the broken body and shed blood. He is the one who saves. Put your faith in him. Have a relationship with him. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you right now with grateful hearts. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house tonight. We thank you that we can come and share together, break bread together, and remember your great sacrifice for our sins. Help us rejoice in your gift to us, and help us tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread, do it to remember me. He also said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye all of it. We've talked about God's gift to us, but I want to say something else now. This is probably not a passage that you've often heard read on Christmas Eve, but I want to read a passage because it is God's Son's birthday. It is Jesus' birthday. And the question I have for you, what are you giving Him for His birthday? What is it that He desires? What would He love to have? You know, a lot of times before Christmas comes, my wife will ask me something like this, what would you like to have for your birthday? And she tells me, what would you like to have for Christmas? I tell her, and she usually gets me at least something I like, something I want. This year I told her I'd like to have a new camera. She bought me a new camera. She got me what I wanted. Well, what does God want from you in this Christmas season? What does God want for His Son's birthday? And I want to suggest to you, we have an idea what God wants out of Luke chapter 14, verse 25. It says, now large crowds were going along with Him, and He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he set out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else when the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all of his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but even salt has become tasteless. With what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What is it Jesus said that God wants from us as disciples? These large crowds were following Him, and Jesus put some very strict requirements concerning those who would follow Him. He says, if any man hate not his father, but now he's not saying we need to hate our father or mother, our wife or children, brothers and sisters. But he is saying in comparison to our love for Christ, it's as if we hate our own family. In other words, he's to have priority in all of our life. He's to come first. He's to be precious in our sight. And he says in verse 27, who is not willing to carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Sometimes we think a cross is a burden to bear, but a cross is not something to bear. A cross is an instrument of death. It is something on which we are to die. And what Jesus is saying is we need to die to our selfish and sinful ways, and we need to live for Jesus. We need to live for Him. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul puts it this way. He said, I beg you, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, because of the mercies of God in your life, you need to present your bodies, your living selves, as a living, holy, acceptable sacrifice in God's sight. For this is your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know and discern and do that will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. A precious gift always demands a response. You can accept it or you can reject it. God has given the gift of His Son to us. Are we going to accept it or are we going to reject it? Are we going to accept Him or are we going to reject Him? What God wants from us more than anything else is the gift of ourselves to Him. He wants us to say yes to Him in every area of our life. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to love Him. And He wants us not to take Him for granted. Sometimes we treat God like a spiritual Santa Claus. We give him our wish list of things that we want. And when he doesn't show up, we get angry with him. But we should never take God for granted. A pilot and his navigator had been shot down and were adrift at sea in a tiny lifeboat. After several days without food and water and any hope of rescue, the pilot finally decided he was going to pray and ask God for help. He said, "God, you know I haven't lived a very good life. I've been a miserable husband, a terrible father. I've cheated, I've lied, I've stolen, and hadn't had any use for church whatsoever. But God, if you'll save us from dying out here, I promise I'll never..." And before he could finish his statement, the navigator interrupted, said, "Don't say another word. I think I see land." People are willing to make all kinds of bargains with God to get out of a mess, but do they really mean it? A husband accompanied his wife to her 35th high school reunion, and while the woman was reminiscing with some of her old friends, a man approached her husband and confessed, "Years ago, I was madly in love with your wife," in which her husband retorted, "I was too." We tend to take God for granted just like that. We used to love him, but somehow we've fallen out of love. We used to pay attention to him, but we don't do it as much as we used to. We had a desire to give our hearts and lives to him and live for him every step of the way. But somewhere along the way, other things were given priority. It's time we put the Christ back in Christmas. It's time we gave Christ what he wants for Christmas. It's time we gave Christ what he wants for his birthday. He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants your love. He wants your presence. He wants your commitment. There used to be a house in Lexington, Kentucky, located at 2324 Abbeywood Road. It was a must stop for carloads of sightseers at Christmas time. A man there by the name of Tom Burrich used to have a display of lights year after year. Over 50,000 lights. He had Santa, a sleigh, reindeer, and trains, and it just knocked the socks off everybody in the neighborhood. Year after year, he won the award for having the best display of Christmas lights in his community. But that was then. Year after year, he tried to do something bigger. He tried to do something better. And then he realized it was only getting in the way of the true meaning of Christmas. Several years went by. And if you went by Tom Burrich's house, only an illuminated cross would stand in the middle of the yard with a lighted star on the roof of the house. And near his sidewalk is a painting of Joseph and Mary holding the baby Jesus. And written in gold on a large sign is this message: "A special Christmas gift. Tell your children the story of Jesus from birth to death to eternal peace." He made this statement: "I feel we've been given so much, starting with myself and my family, yet we don't seem satisfied. But," he said, "I know this, the source of our peace comes not from material things, it comes from knowing him." Jesus is the reason for the season, and I love to look at Christmas lights. I love to see all the things that are out there, from cartoons to Winnie the Pooh and Disney characters of all sorts. But my friends, just remember, Christmas is about Jesus. He gave the gift of himself. And the question I have, what gift are you going to give him? He wants the gift of yourself. He wants you to be his light in the world. He came as a light to the world, and he says, "I want you to be a light to the world." We're going to sing a couple more songs. In a few moments, we're going to start lighting our candles. And let me give you some instruction. Candles drip. They drip wax. When you turn them sideways, So do everything you can with your lighted candle not to turn it sideways. When you try to light a candle, let the one that is unlit go sideways. Let the one that is lit remain upright. And we're going to light our candles here in a moment to symbolize the fact that as we leave this place, we want to share the light and love of Jesus everywhere we go. We want to penetrate the darkness and see lives changed. Brother Bill, let's sing some more.
One of the great truths is this one. He is worthy. And I think we need to stand one more time.
Worthy, you are worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy. Worthy, you are worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you.
Deacons and their helpers to come again tonight, and we're going to light the candle from the Christ candle, and we're going to begin to spread that. In a few moments, we're going to begin singing together, Brother Bill. So we want to stand as we sing, okay?
Will be on the screen, but you probably know them already. You can stay seated for right now while we're lighting the candles.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin
I'm
stand together and sing this last chorus together. And as we leave this place tonight, let's let our light shine brightly for the cause of Christ. Michael, we're going to ask you to turn the lights down a little bit up here. All right, thank you. And let's let our light shine bright, Brother Bill.
You'll know it, but the words will be on the screen. Brother Michael, you can kill these lights here too if you want to. Sing it with us. Go tell it
on the mountain.
Thank you for being here. Merry Christmas to all of you. God bless you. Have a great day tomorrow as you celebrate Jesus coming to this world. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here at South Avenue every Sunday. God bless you.